Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show. Welcome to LOA Today. My name is Walt Thiessen. With my new co-host, David Bartke, is a Law of Attraction coach. And, David, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I have to say, like we were talking about before the show, I can't figure out exactly how I found you, which is kind of weird. It's a little scary.
Well, it was meant to be, I guess.
It was meant to be. That's right. This is the universe stepping in and saying, you got to be using David as your next co-host. This is important. There's a reason behind our methodology here. So.
Yes.
So tell the audience a little bit about who David Bartke is.
Well, I will say that I am a certified Law of Attraction life coach, and I got my certification many years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. With great success, fortunately.
That's always good.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
That's always good. Success is much better than non-success.
Yes, well, with being a Law of Attraction life coach, like, I better be successful.
That's right, yeah. you have a standard to meet there.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. But it's interesting because I've always been attracted to the Law of Attraction. You know, even in my early 20s, when I first heard about it, it just resonated with me. You know, did you have that same thing when you
kind
heard
of
about
sort
it?
Of. I mean, I had heard of variations on it before it was called the Law of Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dating back to the 1980s, which is when I was first starting to pay attention to this stuff. And I didn't really buy into all of it at that point. I mean, in the 80s, it was like Anthony Robbins and Zig Ziglar and that kind of thing. And then I couldn't really make it work, if you know what I mean. And I have since learned why I couldn't. But but the point is, it didn't seem to work for me. It didn't make any sense to me. It's like, yeah, that's cool, but, you know, it doesn't. That's like, you know. That's wishful thinking. Doesn't actually do anything. And then I kind of let it go for quite some time. And then along came the movie The Secret. And I said, well, okay. It was the perfect time in my life to actually see a movie like that. I actually saw the movie before I read the book. And when I was watching the movie, I said, oh, well, this is Zig Ziglar and Anthony Robbins just kind of regurgitated, but with a new name on it. Okay, so, you know, I said, all right, well, this is a time to kind of take another look at it. And as I'm doing that, I'm realizing that it's presented a little bit differently. The way Law of Attraction as a methodology is presented is somewhat different. I mean, it's positive thinking and it's positive living and so forth, but with a twist, because it's almost like a metaphysical twist, the way that it's presented. And shortly after that, I discovered Esther Hicks and Abraham Hicks. And, of course, I started checking out all the presenters on The Secret, and I really fell in love with Mike Dooley, and I like Jack Canfield, and, you know, all these other guys. And so, you know, it kind of took off from there. But before 2007 when I saw The Secret. 2006 is when The Secret came out, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so from, like, the late 80s, early 90s to 2007, there was like a gap where I had no Law of Attraction going on.
Yeah, like I heard about it and it resonated with me, and similar to you, like I didn't fully get it initially. Like, it just made sense to me. Like, yeah, what you think about is kind of what you attract. But at the time, I just didn't understand about vibration and resistance and all that. But I was lucky enough, because I was living in California at the time, someone had told me about Michael Beckwith, and he's, you know, one of the people in The Secret, and so I didn't know who he was, so someone said, you got to go to one of his services, because he has this non-denominational church called Agape. So I thought, well, okay, I'll go. So I went, and he would talk about the Law of Attraction, and he would do a sermon, and by the end of the sermon, everyone was just like at a 10, like vibrationally, just like woo, because he was just that good.
Mm.
And so I started getting more into it, and then he at the time was offering classes about it, and so I took all the classes I could with him and just kept learning more about it and implementing it, and just started seeing some attraction. You know, I would, at the time, I was a professional songwriter, and I still write songs, and there have been this, like, really popular producer I wanted to work with, and I just started thinking about his name and, you know, how wonderful it would be to work with him. And then other people started telling me this guy's name and mentioning his name to me. I'm like, that's weird. Like, why are all these people talking about him? And then sure enough, not that much longer, I heard from him, because there was a artist that wanted to do one of my songs, and I had no idea that this same producer was producing her.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I was like, wow. Like, that's amazing. Like, I kept focusing on, this is someone that would be amazing to work with as a producer, and just doing my thing and being out there, and boom, my phone rings and there he is.
That's so really something. Like, that's pure LOA application going on there.
Yes. So that's kind of when I thought, I think there definitely is something to this.
Yeah, you have experiences like that, and they catch you. They catch your attention.
Yes, definitely. And then, you know, sometimes even just thinking about a friend that that I haven't seen in a while, I wonder how so-and-so doing, and then, like, the next day you hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, just different things like that. So I just started studying it more, and then eventually, probably like most people with Law of Attraction, I was led to a Esther Hicks book, and I was led to the Ask and It Is Given book.
Right, yeah, I saw that one first as well.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, this really resonates with me so much. Like, wow. Like, and, you know, there's all this, you know, writing about the Law of Attraction. So I read that, and of course, there was wonderful information in that book, and
That book actually was kind of different for me, because that's where really it becomes very different from, say, Zig Ziglar or Anthony Robbins. They really don't go down that trail at all.
Exactly. Right, because they're not channeling Abraham.
So. Well, partly that, yeah. and that part takes a little getting used to all by itself. I mean, Joel Elston, who was my previous co-host, used to say, you know, I don't really care whether or not that part's true. I just like what they're saying. You know, you don't really have to buy into all the channeling stuff. And I agree with him. You don't have to buy into all the channeling stuff. But it does present a different way of just the messages that come through present a very different way of understanding how attraction works. That's the part that really caught my attention.
Yeah. So I even went to one of her day seminars where she you know, is on this little stage, and she's channeling Abraham, and people ask questions and get answers. And when I went to that, I thought, wow, you know what? Whatever she's doing, it's the real thing, because everything she answered was spot on. And, you know, even there were some people that were trying to kind of stroke her ego, like, oh, my God, Esther, like, oh, my God, you know, that kind of thing. And she wouldn't have any of that.
No second coming going on here.
Yeah, so when I saw that, I thought, you know, this is legitimate. Like, you know, she's not trying to be anything than she is, you know, and the information is amazing and just so beyond helpful to the people that were, you know, asking her questions. And then, of course, so many of the questions, you know, we can all relate to in different ways.
One thing I always... made me wonder, because I've never been to any of her seminars or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get a flavor of them by listening to, you can find all kinds of stuff about seminars on YouTube and so forth. So you get a flavor for it. But it's not like you're getting the whole seminar, you're getting chunks of it. One of the things I've always wondered is, to what degree do you get the sense that the answers she's giving were specific to that person and not just answers that anybody could find useful?
I think they're usually specific to the person.
You do? Okay.
I do, but at the same time, because we're all connected and we all kind of go through similar things, they somehow also pertain to everybody, you know?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, the principles yeah. are universal.
Yeah, and I mean, people, I've even seen people try to throw her, you know, like throw her for a loop, so to speak, and they bring up, like, the most negative thing they could find going on in the world, you know?
Sure.
Thinking that, you know, they're going to not get the answer or whatever, and she always handles it so wonderfully, you know, never making anybody wrong and just kind of saying, yes, I understand where you're coming from, but, and it's just like, she's, you know, it's, to me, it's the real thing, and I agree, like you're saying, like, wherever it's coming from, whatever, you know, her information, it's just great, so.
I remember hearing a piece of a little chunk of a throw you type of question. They were challenging her about 9/11, which is a very sensitive subject. In fact, Joel and I did a show about that one time, and that was a rough show to do.
That was
really rough. And we weren't even, you know, it's not like we were being attacked by somebody who said this is a bunch of nonsense. Just ourselves, we had a hard time dealing with it because it's such an emotionally laden thing.
And how did she handle that, do you remember?
Well, no, she wasn't involved in it at all in terms of the show. In terms of how she handled it with that particular speaker, that particular questioner, I don't remember the details of it. I can tell you that the general, the gist of it, so to speak, was everybody attracts, including people who attract bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough answer.
Mm-hmm.
That because that leads people to say, well, that means you're blaming little kids for being, you know, killed in a terrorist attack or something like that. It's really a tough area to go, but she handled it well. Like you said, she's very deft about being sensitive and compassionate and so forth. But it was tough. She was definitely walking a fine line.
Yes. Well, you know, even with my practice, sometimes I get calls from people that are in such a low place. And, you know, I explain about the law of attraction and how, you know, working with it can help them. And they're just in such a low place they can't even see past where they are. You know, like a lot of times Esther always says, well, you can't get from there to there. Like, you know, they can't get from being so low to suddenly being like, ooh, I just feel wonderful. And sometimes people don't realize that, you know, it's a process. It's like, you know, one movement up that 1 to 10 vibrational scale at a time. So, like, if you're at a 1, let's first get you to a 2, you know?
Right.
And then from there we can get you to a 3. So, but anyway, so I studied a lot working with Michael Beckwith, which was amazing. And then at some point I moved back east because I'm from the East Coast and I wanted to come back. And I was reading more books, and I love this story that I experienced. Is I always wanted to live in New York because I never experienced that.
In New York City?
New York City. And I always wanted to live not only in New York City, but on Central Park West.
Oh, no kidding. You were very specific about your request.
Very specific. So, but I kind of forgot about that for a second. And I started working with a realtor, and I did not have a big budget, okay? At the time, it was just like, especially for New York, you know, it wasn't that much compared to what it should be.
Yeah, so, New York is not exactly the cheapest place to live on the planet.
No. So I was going to all these, like, apartment showings, and, you know, I would get there, there'd be, like, 100 other people.
Right.
All vying for this apartment that wasn't even that nice, and I was like thinking to myself, I just don't like any of these, and I don't know. And then I kind of remembered, like, wait a minute, I want to live on Central Park West. And I thought, okay, I know about law of attraction, so let me just see what happens. So I called the realtor that I was working with, and I said, look, don't show me anything unless it's on Central Park West. So of course there was like a silence on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, because he's trying to figure out, where am I going to find one, right? Yeah, this guy has no idea.
Yeah, and he's like, Central Park West? I'm like, yes. I said, I always wanted to live on Central Park West. And, like, at the time, like, which is kind of funny, like, my fantasy was I wanted to rollerblade from my Central Park West apartment building across the street into the park and have fun, and then be one of those people that, like, rollerblades back to their apartment.
Okay.
And just, like...
Well, as long as you're not trying to do it all the way down to Wall Street, that's all I ask. But.
No.
No.
So for me at the time, that was like, oh, my God, that would just be the most amazing thing in the world. So whatever. So I said, just that's what I really want. You know, it could be a studio, which is fine, you know, as long as it's nice, whatever. So he goes, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever, I'll keep an ear out for it. I'm like, okay, let's just see what happens. I didn't go to any more showings. Like, you know, when I was looking in the paper, I did not run down to these apartments I didn't want. And I'm telling you, within 2 weeks, I get a call from this realtor, and he said, well, David, there's a studio apartment that is going to be coming available at an apartment building on Central Park West. He said, I've never been to this building. I don't even know what the apartment looks like, but I just got word of it through the building manager who I happen to know. Should we bother going to see it? And by the way, it's $500 more a month than you told me you can afford. So, however, I know about the law of attraction, and I know anything's possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said yes. I immediately said yes, let's go. He goes, okay. He goes, at least we'll get to see what the building looks like. I'm like,
right.
Okay. So the next day we went to the building, and it was literally right across from the park.
From exactly the way you envisioned
it. Yes, not only that, it was across from an entrance to the park. I was like, oh my God, this is like crazy. So we walk in, and of course the lobby is like out of a movie that was like that nice. I'm like, oh my God. I thought, well, okay. So the building manager got us, and we went up to the 14th floor. I mean, even the elevator was, like, beautiful. Like, it had these, like, oriental wood carvings on the walls.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is, like, amazing. So we went to the apartment, and I walked in, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, this has to be it. Because it was just really cute. It had, like, it was a studio, but the kitchen was separate. It had a full-size bathroom and a walk-in closet.
Wow.
And I was also told that the tenant was not going to be home because she was told that someone's coming and she wasn't supposed to be there. So this is another law of attraction moment. So we walk in, and guess what? The tenant was still there.
Of course.
Okay? And this is where law of attraction really stepped in. So, you know, we're walking around the little place, and I went up to her and I said, how could you possibly leave this apartment? And she's like, well, I don't want to, but I think her mother became ill and she had to move back to Ohio or something.
Uh-huh.
And I said to her, well, how much are you paying? And she said, oh, and what she told me she was paying was exactly what I could pay. And I thought, okay, that's very interesting. And then she tells me that the owner is like freaking out because the owner of the apartment lived in Las Vegas and she did not want it to sit because she needed that monthly income.
Ah.
So part of me is thinking, well, first of all, the owner is not very smart because this place would never, like, the first person that would see it would obviously take it.
Right.
And I happened to be the first person.
Right.
So, you know, I thanked her for sharing that with me. And I went to my realtor in the hall and I said, look, she told me she's paying this. I'm going to offer $25 more. He goes, yeah, but she wants $500 more. I said, I don't care. This is what she's paying. The owner was happy with that, so why wouldn't she be happy with $25 more? Right? At least in my mind, that's what I'm thinking.
It's good psychology, if nothing else, even if we take law of attraction out of the equation.
Exactly. So he goes, well, okay. So he told the building manager, and he said he would tell her and find out what she would say. And I said, okay, great. Next day I get a call. She accepted.
Wow, fantastic.
She accepted. Yeah, and like a few weeks later, there I was moving into my Central Park West apartment.
And for people who don't know New York City, this isn't just a very cool LOA moment. This is an above-board cool LOA moment, because New York City has rent control. And you don't get this kind of a deal in New York City. Like you said, most cases, there are lines of people for apartments, particularly if they're well-priced. So this just doesn't happen.
Even if they're icky, there's a line.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Yes. Because there's a short. That's the nature of rent control. Rent control is always going to generate more less supply than there is demand. So, somehow the law of attraction managed to help you beat supply and demand. That's pretty darn good.
Yes, and people have to realize, if you don't know about Central Park West, it's like one of the nicest streets in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like right across from Central Park, and the museum is right there. It's a beautiful area. So not only that, then like a few weeks later, I have my rollerblades on. And I rollerbladed from out of my building right into the park and did that a million times. And every time I did it, I thought, wow, I can't believe it. I'm actually one of the people that get to do this.
Yeah, so right.
It was just amazing. And it's like I would say that 99.9% of people wouldn't even think to ask for a Central Park West apartment with the budget that I had. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
But because I know about a law of attraction and I know that anything's possible, why not?
And by the way, the interesting little sideline, PRN Studios, of course, we're on PRN. PRN Studios is not right there, but it's in that general neighborhood.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, how about that?
Interesting, yes. Yes. And not only that, it even gets better because I was in that apartment during 9/11, like you had mentioned 9/11.
Right.
And in New York at that time, obviously, the months after 9/11, rents actually started going down, believe it or not.
No kidding.
Because of the fear of what happened. And,
right.
And the owner called me, and we were talking, and I kind of brought that up, and she lowered my rent a few hundred dollars.
No kidding. Wow.
So, yeah, not only did I initially get in with an amazing deal at the time, lowered. So just all around, it was a great experience and a great law of attraction story.
Yeah, it gave you a good story to tell for years to come, particularly when you decided to go into business for yourself.
Yes. So as the years went by, I read more about law of attraction. I went to more seminars. And several years ago, I, believe it or not, I got a random email. And it said, become a certified law of attraction life coach.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't even know there was such a thing, you know. And I thought that I would be like perfect for that because I'm already so into it. And this would just give me the other tools I need to actually coach people with it. So I looked into it and did some research. And it turned out that this particular coaching academy was legitimate. And they were recognized by the International Coaching Federation, which is, they're kind of like the gold standard for coaching academies.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's important to at least know that where you're getting trained is affiliated with them.
Right.
So, whatever. So, I signed up for that coaching, and it was a year-long, really intense coaching program.
Now, what was the name of the institute that you actually got the training from?
It's called the Quantum Success Coaching Academy.
Okay.
And usually it's abbreviated QSCA. And it was great. And like I said, it was a year long, very intense, but very well worth it. Very well worth it. And I passed all the certification tests that they gave. And I've been doing it ever since. And it's just great because I'm just so passionate about it and so into it that pretty much whatever anyone throws at me that's going on in their life or things they want to attract, I can always help them through the coaching and through the various law of attraction processes that I teach my clients.
Now, do you get the same kind of resistance that we were talking about Esther Hicks getting where they try to trip you up? Do you get that?
Not really. No. No, because the people that are calling me, you know, they're not...
They're not skeptics. They're actually looking for help.
Yeah. Like, I'm not, you know, on a stage with a large group of people where there's always someone who's like, yeah, but...
Yeah, but, right.
But what interests me the most, and I always find interesting, I get a lot of calls from people all over, and a lot of people, and we talked about this the other day on the phone, have watched The Secret or read The Secret or watched other videos, and they resonate with the law of attraction, but for some reason they don't know what to do to work with it, to actually get it to work for them. And I find that very interesting about all the information that's out there. That surprises me a lot, you know?
It continues to surprise you. Because I would say, yeah, if you were to just run the concept of the law of attraction by your average Joe, they'd be very polite about it, but inside they'd be saying, "But this guy's really just whacked."
Yes, well,
I mean, no offense, but you know, literally, that's one of the things that we do on this show. We don't pull any punches. We say, hey, let's go for the soft underbelly too, because that part's interesting as well.
mm-hmm. But what's really interesting is though, some of the people that call me and that turn into clients don't know a lot about it initially, and they're like, well, I don't know, does it really work? And then, like, just a few sessions in, they're like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I never knew I could deliberately feel happier. I can deliberately start attracting things that I want. And, you know, a lot of times people don't realize how negatively they really are thinking about things.
Oh, yeah. That's like a major theme that we spend a lot of time on this program, or at least we have in the past. Before Joel was my co-host, my sister-in-law, Yuona, who is pursuing a PhD, the target actually keeps moving, but in general it's in the neuroscience area.
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of shows a couple of years ago, she and I just explored in depth a lot of what she was discovering through her research, looking into, you know, the development of neuroscience, particularly over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff she had to share, it was amazing just how in parallel it was with law of attraction teaching.
Wow, interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were actually talking about it for last week's show, kind of rehashing what we had talked about on one of the shows a couple of years ago. She was talking about a couple of her favorite authors, one of whom was one of the original researchers at Johns Hopkins, who was among the first who discovered how endocrines work, the endocrine glands work, and how the hormones work, discovered a lot of the hormones themselves, played a major role in our understanding of how they actually make the whole nervous system work. They basically undermined the previous model of how the nervous system works, because the previous model was a purely electrical model. And now they're understanding through all these hormones and how the synapses work that it's quite different from what the original model thought. Well, she was at the forefront of that.
Well, wow.
Amazing things that came out of it. Like, for instance, did you know that there is a hug hormone?
No, I didn't know that.
There is a hormone that's called, within the scientific circles, it's called the hug hormone. And it's because when you hug, this hormone gets triggered and makes you feel good.
Wow, interesting.
It's sort of like the serotonin or the dopamine of hugging.
Yes.
Another thing that came out of her studies that was really fascinating, you were talking about how we can be in a negative funk without really realizing it, and we can also be in a positive spin without even noticing that either. I mean, it can work both ways.
Yeah.
But there's a funny thing that happens physiologically. Not funny, but actually it kind of gets your attention. If you focus on something in a negative way, or something that has a negative topic or a negative spin where your own sensibilities are concerned, so you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling whatever, your body tends through the nervous system to start kicking out large amounts of cortisol and adrenaline, or epinephrine, as it's also called. And those, of course, they're like the flight or fight stuff, right?
Yeah.
But if you're subjected to them over a long period of time, that's what we call stress. Stress is where you're getting these hormones over a long period of time. And literally what happens is they send signals to the cells of your body to start to die.
Wow.
On the other hand, if you're feeling good, the exact opposite happens. They send out neurotransmitters using like serotonin and dopamine and oxytocin, which is the hug hormone, and they send out exactly the opposite signal. They send out the signal, start healing everything. And what's really remarkable about the whole thing is that the entire process from where you first are focusing on whatever it is that's either positive or negative to the point where it's actually impacting the cells is 90 seconds.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty darn quick.
Yes.
Now take that a step further and realize that most of us don't stay positive or negative. We fluctuate, right? So we're sending out positive hormones, negative hormones, and our body's getting these mixed signals all day long.
So we're all just a mess?
We're a mess, yeah, right. But it also points out what happens when you're chronically depressed. When you're chronically depressed, you're basically sending signals to the cells of your body on a constant basis. Start killing things off. Let's start the process of dying this body.
Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. So the parallels between what science is discovering and what we've been learning through the Law of Attraction gurus, which is perhaps the more metaphysical side, the parallels are astonishing.
Wow.
And those are just a few of them.
That's interesting you say that because a lot of times, most times, after about 3 or 4 weeks of working with somebody, I get a lot of times that they're like, I don't know why, but a lot of people at work are asking me, like, did you go on vacation or did you get a facial or like, what are you doing? Like, you just look, something's improved, and that the only thing they've been doing is deliberately focusing more on what they want and deliberately keeping themselves at a raised vibration.
And keeping their minds off of what they don't want.
Yes, so I think that's interesting what you're saying kind of goes along with that. And I'm like, well, this is just one of the probably not very much talked about side effects of doing deliberate creation and deliberately keeping yourself at a raised vibration is you do start looking better. You just have a certain something about you that wasn't there before. And that's what their friends and coworkers notice. They don't know why they're looking a little better, but that's what they're picking up on. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, and the fact that we all have a tendency to kind of go back and forth, is why we don't see massive changes going on. Because our bodies are constantly trying to keep up with where we're pointing. Where's our focus? We always have a focus, right? It's impossible to live without focusing. There's no way to do that. So you're always focusing on something. And when your focus is shifting back and forth, your body's saying, what? Make up your mind, will you please?
Well, hopefully it's to the positive high vibration side.
Well, that's what we aim for. It's not always easy to stay there when you're coming from the other range. I mean, you probably run into that with your clients. They achieve a victory and they start feeling good and so forth, and then they have a setback, and now you're trying to get them going again. Am I wrong?
No, that is right. However, with the coach, like with each coaching session, typically they're learning another law of attraction process or two.
Okay.
So it's kind of like once you start becoming aware of these law of attraction processes, they give you a place to go with your thoughts that keep you at a deliberately raise your vibration. So, which is amazing, you know. And that's when I know a client reaches a turning point when they say, like, oh, the other day I could tell I was at a low vibration. So instead of staying there like I would have normally done and wallow in it, I went into a process deliberately, and like within a few minutes I was feeling a little better. And then a few minutes later I went into another process, and then I was feeling a little better than I was before. And before they know it, they've deliberately taken themselves to a much better vibration deliberately, which makes all the difference in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then. I'm going to make an assumption here, and I want to find out whether my assumption is correct, okay?
Okay.
I won't tell you what the assumption is up front.
Okay.
Because I'm setting this whole thing up here. Okay, so how often do you run into people who are coming from a really badly traumatic background. Let's start with that.
Sometimes. Not all the time, but some people do.
Okay.
Yeah, some people do.
And you have some of them that have been ongoing clients. They don't just go away after a session or two?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So pick one of those, and as much as you can without, you know, giving away, you know, personal information and so forth.
Right.
What happened during their progression? Was it a smooth, easy curve? Was it up and down? What was it?
You mean with the coaching or with their life, or what do you mean?
Well, the combination. Because the coaching is part of their life, but it's not their whole life. So you can certainly tell me what happens during the coaching, but what did you see happening in their lives based on what they were telling you about what was going on in their lives?
You mean from a tough childhood type situation?
It could be, yeah, almost anything. I mean, it could be somebody who's suffering an addiction. It could be somebody who was abused as a child, like you're pointing to. It could be almost anything. Just a very bad situation that got transitioned.
Example, like a client I had a session with today, who's had many sessions. They came from a childhood where neither parent was necessarily that interested in them. You know, I mean, they provided a roof over their heads, you know, they provided food and shelter, but there wasn't like a lot of love in the house. There wasn't a lot of like, oh, you're so wonderful, I'm so proud of you. You know, it was the opposite. It was more like, you're not wonderful, and why do you look this, and you're too heavy, and, you know, all these wonderful, you know, things that sometimes happens with people. And she took that with her on into adulthood, you know, and because she was in that vibration and didn't really work with trying to improve it, what kind of men did she attract? She attracted men that also kind of talked to her like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, which is very interesting about, because we always want to be in the vibration of what we want to attract. So people that don't know that. So she was walking around with, unfortunately, this traumatic childhood, thinking she wasn't pretty enough and not good enough and not this enough. And the men that she attracted were similar to that vibration.
Right, sure. That's a very common thing, isn't it? Because people tend to look to try to fill in the gaps that they were missing when they were growing up.
Yeah, and she like never understood, like, how come I kept attracting these guys, you know,
right.
Even someone she married. That
because that's who she knew. That's the kind that she felt closest to.
Yes, and that's also because that's the vibration she
right.
was putting out. And
exactly.
That's what, you know, you attract, you know, when you're matched with someone vibrationally, that's who you attract. So, you know, so if, so once we kind of put the pieces together to all that, then she started, you know, making lists and such of how she wanted to be treated and how she wants people to think of her,
mm-hmm.
you know, how she wants to feel. You know, she wants to feel pretty, and she wants to feel like she's enough, and she wants to feel, you know, all those wonderful things that
right.
she never got growing up. So once she identified that and then started using a process or two to implement getting into the vibration of that, of the, you know, the good stuff.
Right.
You know, she got really into the vibration of feeling like she was enough, and that she is pretty, and that she does deserve to have a wonderful life, and all, you know, all the good stuff. Then she started shifting within herself into a more positive way.
So that's good. That's very good.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I'm very excited for her because she majorly has improved her overall daily vibration. So of course she's, you know, feeling happier, and she's doing more things and just enjoying life more.
And that's fantastic, because that's what it's really all about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for her, because now that she's in this place, I just know that she's going to meet a great person this time around.
The thing that I was not telling you about, the thing that I was hiding, was I was basically trying to figure out, okay, you were telling me you dealt with people who had been, you know, in rough childhood and so forth.
Yeah.
I was trying to find out how rough they were.
Oh.
and not to put down your client, because obviously everybody goes through stuff like that, and the fact that with your help she found a way to find that upward path, that's the ultimate. That's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking,
you know, sometimes though, it's not that their childhood was so bad, but now for whatever reason their adulthood is, for some reason. Maybe they're, like, sometimes I work with people, like, their children are in a lot of trouble for
mm-hmm.
some reason,
mm-hmm.
and they're having trouble, you know, getting through it and how to deal with it in the best way possible. So again, it goes back to, well, we have to shift what they're thinking about and focusing on,
mm-hmm.
you know. In a real way, you know, not in a Pollyanna way.
Right. Because there's no point to that. That's just kind of self-defeating more than anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I love about Law of Attraction and about coaching, is that it's done in a real way. It's not just words that sound good.
Mm-hmm.
And then once people experience, like, wow, okay, yeah, I didn't know about all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know about reaching for a better thought deliberately and deliberately raising my vibration. And, you know, because I always tell people, like, you're thinking about what you're thinking about. And then if it's not something higher vibration, if it's more about lack or something more negative or what you don't have, then realize that. And in the moment, just ask yourself, like, okay, well, what do I want then
mm-hmm.
about, you know, whatever it is they were thinking about?
Right.
And then get lost in those thoughts, you know, practice doing that. And they're like, oh, I never thought about doing that. And it's like, you got to start doing that, because the more aware that we all become of what we're thinking about and how we're thinking about it, that's when we can kind of take the first steps to improving it.
So what was, do you think, your greatest LOA success story for your clients? What's been the most satisfying one, or the biggest transition or whatever?
Well, for me, it's not about the material things, you know, because I have helped people attract, like, their dream job and things like that. For me, it's more the personal growth that happens and the personal raised vibration they experience. You know,
right?
Like, when they tell me, like, oh my God, like, I've never felt this happy or this content or this satisfied, and it's just so amazing. Like, to me, that's what I'm like, yay, like, you know, because that's more important, from, you know, in my mind, like, that's, like, huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that the law of attraction and the coaching could help someone in such a major way.
Right.
And it's for the rest of their lives, you know, it's not just a temporary thing.
So you don't get clients who backslide?
Well, sometimes in the beginning, yeah. And then I have what I call emergency sessions. Like, if sometimes someone before, because typically, I talk to someone once a week. And sometimes before the next session, they're like, David, can we have an emergency session? Because I can feel I'm starting to go down the wrong way. And I just need your help to stop that and get back on track. Because, you know, all this takes practice, you know, all the
mm-hmm.
things I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, learning a process and practicing those and becoming aware of your thoughts and then shifting from what you don't want to what you do want. It just takes practice and it takes time, you know? So the longer someone practices these things, they're going to be a little bit better at it than someone just starting out.
One person that I once was trying to help out was a gentleman who had been an orthodontist, you know, kids' teeth
mm-hmm.
and so forth, straightening teeth out. And he loved his work. He absolutely loved it. But after a number of years in practice, he found himself, well, I won't go into the details of it because I don't really have permission to do that with him, but in essence, he found himself going into depression. And he didn't know why he was going into depression. And the depression got so severe, he actually had to give up his practice.
Wow.
It was pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
He lost the practice. He lost his home. And by the time I was talking to him, he was a pretty depressed guy. I mean, to give you an idea, we were doing face-to-face, and because he lives here in the same general area I do. And we were meeting at a local coffee shop, and when we would meet, we only met like, I don't know, half a dozen times, something like that. And I was trying to encourage him along the lines of the law of attraction. But he was so deeply depressed that I was simply trying to get a handle on, you know, how can I connect to him? Because he was so disconnected. One of the things I discovered in talking to him was something I had never consciously noticed before in anybody, although I have noticed it a lot since then in a number of people. But I wanted to see if you run into it. I noticed that even when he found something funny, he wouldn't laugh. You know, so he'd be sitting there with this frown on his face telling me, well, that's pretty funny. Wow. And I'm thinking to myself, why aren't you laughing at it? If you think it's funny, why aren't you laughing? And I actually said that to him. I pointed that out to him. I actually set him the task of picking out like his favorite comedy movies or TV shows or whatever, and going through, and whenever he gets to the funny part, make himself laugh. And I'd love to be able to tell you that it worked, but I can't tell you that because our sessions ended there. I never found out what was going on, and he didn't reconnect with me. But I wondered, have you ever run into something like that? Like a person who is so deeply, you know, depressed or whatever else it is that they can't seem to break through.
Not that long ago, I got a call from a man in Texas, and he said he was at about a zero on the 1 to 10 vibrational scale.
Yeah.
And he didn't know why, but he was just that down. He was really down. And no matter what I said to him, he just wasn't open enough to work with the information.
Mm.
You know, that we didn't have a paying session yet, because I always offer somebody new like a free mini coaching session to begin with, to see how,
because you got to find out if it's a good match, and they got to see how they're going to work, feel comfortable working with you, and so forth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I did that, and he was like, well, I just don't know how I can ever feel happier about life. And, you know, I don't think he was telling me everything, because I was asking him, like, well, what was making him so upset and so down? And, you know, he told me a few things, but the things he told me didn't really seem like they warranted someone being that down.
That's the disconnect that I was talking about. Like, there's a whole piece missing.
Yeah, so, you know, our call ended, and I was like, wow, I would love to be able to work with him, because I just know this would just help him tremendously eventually.
Right.
And, you know, I did call him back like 2 days later to find out how he was doing. And he was like, oh, I just pulled up to a client's house, and I don't even know why, but I'm just feeling so down. And then he was like, oh, I have to call you back because the client's waiting for me. And then he never did call back.
Right.
So I just was like, you know, I swear. And in my mind, I think, well, unfortunately, he's just not ready yet.
He's
not ready yet, which happens sometimes.
That's a valid point, because you have to be receptive.
Yes.
If you're not ready to receive this stuff, it doesn't matter what anybody's going to say to you.
Yes, exactly. So I'm just hoping that the few valuable tips I gave him will eventually resonate with him.
Mm.
And then, you know, whether it's me or whoever, that then he will eventually, you know, realize, oh, okay, yes, that makes sense. Let me go find out more about this.
That was
sometimes
one of the
people just aren't ready.
Yeah. Know? Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's one of the cool things that I experienced when Joel was co-hosting with me, because Joel had a history of working with kids in the foster system and orphans and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids who were basically, you know, abandoned by life. And I mean, some of the stats he shared with me are just absolutely terrifying in terms of what goes on with foster system. Like, literally, if you're a kid who doesn't get adopted and you go through the foster system until you're 18, odds are almost overwhelmingly in favor of you being dead before you're 30.
Wow.
It's that bad, you know. And he's had some amazing successes. That's what made our sessions, you know, our show so good, because he was telling me all these amazing stories. He's literally saved like 40, 50 kids on his own.
That's wonderful.
I mean, just amazing. So,
yeah.
You know, it shows that you know, it depends who you're talking to. But the reason I bring this up is, as he talked to these kids, he found that kids are exceptionally receptive to it, even when they've been through the most traumatic, most disgustingly awful stuff you can possibly imagine. And when they hear about it, it's like the first time they ever heard it.
Interesting.
You know, it's the first time that anybody ever conceived of proposing an idea like that. And they latch onto it like crazy. They latch onto it so much easier than adults do.
Interesting, because I guess they've had less time practicing resistance.
Exactly, yeah. They don't have as much built up in their subconscious minds, right?
Yeah.
You know, more stuff to unlearn like us old folks do.
Yes, but that, you know, that there is truth to that, because I'm sure you've heard that word momentum.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, the older you are, the more momentum you've had of practicing thinking more negatively. So that's why it could be a little more difficult to go to the positive, because your brain's like, wait a minute, we're not used to doing that. Let's go back to what we're used to doing and complaining or whatever it is.
Interesting you should mention that, too, because, again, last week's show where Ioana was sitting in with me, she was talking about how the human body on a physiological level has a certain, my words, status quo. And when you start shifting the way you're thinking and feeling, the first reaction of the body is, well, this isn't the way you normally behave. So I have to put up a certain level of resistance to this.
Yeah,
and then as you persist on it, then it starts changing the way it opens up neuron receptors and starts shifting the way that it handles the flow of what you're passing to it. So physiologically, there's actually, they can show where the resistance happens there too. It's not just a mental subconscious thing. It's an actual physiological thing.
Well, I like using the train example. I don't know if you ever heard the train example, where you're like, where your low vibration negative train is going 100 miles an hour, and your positive train is going 5 miles an hour. So, like,
this sounds like a math problem.
if
train A is going west at 100 miles an hour,
no, it's not a math problem. I was never good at this.
Word problems weren't your thing, huh?
No, but this I get. So, in the beginning, when you first learn about law of attraction, you try to start deliberately improving your thoughts and all the other wonderful things, you're gradually speeding up that positive train and slowly slowing down the 100-mile-an-hour negative train. But unfortunately, you can't slow down the 100-mile-an-hour train, boom. You know, it takes time for it to slow down. So that's the difference. And like you said, the more you stick with it, and the more you practice, and the more you practice, you're speeding up your positive thought train, and then your brain gets more used to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, this is okay. Yeah, we can go there instead of there.
I hadn't actually heard that particular analogy, but it's a good way of describing it, because
especially
if you've got a whole subconscious pile of negativity that's piled up over the years, there's a lot to slosh through there, if you get my drift, you know?
Yes, but it's like you said, the more you practice, though, that's you build up the momentum with the positive train, so to speak. And then eventually, if you stick with it, eventually that negative train slows down enough where the positive one is the one that's going faster.
Experientially, in terms of how you actually feel it, what I found is, over time, if I can consistently as I can, keep aiming at the positive thoughts, positive feelings, and so forth, over time, the negative stuff is still there, but it starts to fade.
Yes, exactly. Yes, because you're not giving it attention.
Right. I mean, it's still there. It's not like the tapes have gone away, but they're in the process of being erased.
Yes. Yes, which a lot of times people say, but I want to know why this and why that, with all the negative stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, the thing is, though, why do you want to spend one more second focusing on that negative stuff? Because that's all that's going to do. If you had to figure out why this and why that, that's just what it's going to do. It's going to keep you in that. So why not reach for
It's an interesting
different?
Dichotomy, isn't it? Because on the one hand, I wanted to know why as well. And I spent quite a lot of time trying to learn and understand it. And I found it to be useful. I found that I learned a lot by pursuing that train of thought. But you're right.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it also holds you back. So, you know, it's kind of like a catch me if you can kind of thing. You know, on the one hand, you're gaining. On the other hand, you're not gaining as quickly as you could have because you're still in resistance mode.
Yes. I'd rather not care why and just feel better. Because that's what it's more about. I'd rather start heading to the better place than having to know why this and why that.
So, different approaches, and ultimately we end up at the same place, so it goes to prove. I mean, actually, it reminds me of one of the points that Esther Hicks likes to make, which is negativity and negative stuff is important in life because it helps us know what it is we don't want.
So then we know what we do want, yes.
Yes, so we can, and where we tend to get tripped up is where we forget to flip it over to the other side to find out what it is that we do want.
Yes. Well, that's the good part about resistance is that, oh, okay, now we know what we don't want, so now I know what I do want.
And that's really what the trick is. I mean, you talked about Ask and You Shall Receive, which was one of their major books. That was a big theme in that book, the idea of the pivot.
Yes. Yeah, the pivot's great. Yes.
Because the pivot, and for those who aren't familiar with it, the pivot is where you find yourself focusing on some negative thing that you really don't want. You want to get to a positive thing, so you have to find a way to pivot your attention to either the positive side of something or to something else that is positive. And that's not always easy to do.
Yeah. Like from what you don't want to what you do want.
Right, yeah.
Well, I like to tell people it's usually the opposite of what you were thinking about. So, like, if you realize you're thinking about not having enough money, then pivot to what you do want, which is an unlimited amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's usually pivoting is usually the opposite of what you don't want, which is what you do want. You know, depending on what you're thinking about.
Interesting thing, though. Very often, people have trouble with that kind of pivot. You mentioned specifically money and the idea of pivoting to unlimited money. I've had people tell me, "I that's too much for me to believe in. That just." Everything that I've learned about reality tells me that's not going to happen, and so of course I end up on the negative track.
But then you have to tell them that law of attraction isn't based on reality.
It isn't law based on reality, but here's the thing that's really interesting, and this we're kind of running out of time, so obviously we'll have to carry on this next time. But the thing that I think everybody gets tripped up on is the idea that reality is an illusion. That's really a tough concept because, you know, if I slam my hand against a wall, guess what? It feels like I just slammed my hand against a wall. You can say that that's not real all you want to, but it sure felt real.
Well, definitely let's talk about that the next time because that's a great topic to discuss.
Yeah, we'll spend at least a show on that probably too.
Yes.
Now, before we go our separate ways this week, I do need to put in our little commercial message. I want to remind people, first of all, obviously you can find us here on PRN because that's where we are every Thursday, 7 p.m. But you can also find us in other places because we want you to follow the show. You know, you can subscribe to our podcast. You can go to our website, loatoday.net. There's a great big subscribe button there. You can't miss it. If you are an iPhone or an iPad user, you can find us on Apple iTunes and the iTunes Store. Just look for LOA Today there. You'll find us. You can find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. You can find us on YouTube. We put our broadcast on our podcast on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter. So there's a lot of different ways to find us and subscribe. But whatever you do, make sure you subscribe and keep following us. Because if you're a loyal PRN listener, then you're always going to have it tuned to PRN anyway. But if you're only here intermittently, at least make sure you're following us. Because now you can keep track of what's going on with the guys every week as we talk about all the different aspects of LOA. And it's going to be really cool because now that David Bartke has joined me, it's like we're opening a new chapter to LOA Today. So, David, I'm excited about what's going to be happening.
I know. It's very exciting. And if I may, if anybody wants to find out more about me, they can certainly go to my website, which is lifecoachdavid.com. And there's some good information on there as well about law of attraction.
About law of attraction, if you want to do sessions, you can actually sign up for sessions there, can't you? I believe.
Absolutely. I didn't contact me.
I took kind of a quick look there. And you've got some books, that we'll go into in future times. But you have some books that they can look up there, too.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we can talk about those at another time. And people can sign up for my law of attraction newsletter, which also always has some good information and stories in that as well.
Very good. Well, David, this is great. This is like a new chapter opening up. I can hardly wait to get going. Thanks for joining me as my new co-host.
Well, thank you. It was great. I appreciate it.
And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.